Commentator Michelle Nyehaus went skiing last year on a gorgeous winter day. She expected a day without responsibilities. When she came upon an injured skier, she found herself immersed in an entirely different experience.
It was a powder day in the Rockies when work seems made for ditching. On the ski slope, the sky was blue, the snow was fresh, and all that mattered was the shape of the next turn. Halfway down a wide, gentle run, I noticed one of our group stopped below me, standing with her leg raised at an odd angle. She's hurt, I thought, but it wasn't her leg or her ski. They belonged to a man on the ground near her feet. He was groaning. Our group gathered within a couple of minutes. One of us had training in wilderness medicine, so he took charge. After he sent a passerby for help, he told the rest of us to stabilize the man's head and cover him in extra jackets and sweaters. We could hardly see the man's face, which was obscured beneath hat and sunglasses, but we could hear his voice, hoarse and full of gratitude for help of any sort. We learned some facts. The man was in his early 40s. He was from a warm place near sea level. He had cancer. He could move his hands and feet, but he was cold and very scared. "I can't feel my neck," he said over and over. The facts accumulated into a story, and for that long quarter hour, it seemed we knew exactly who he was. He was one of us. The ski patrol arrived in the form of two muscular young men. They wrapped the man in a bulky neck collar and loaded him into a sled. We stood silently in the cold air, wincing as we watched the shrouded sled bump down the mountain. 2 days later, we called the man in his hospital room. We learned his fear had been all too justified. In his head-over-heels fall, he'd broken his neck. Somehow, his spinal cord had remained intact, saving him from paralysis. "Only about 1 in 20 of those who crack those particular vertebrae," he said, "are so lucky." I don't know what happened inside that narrow human neck. Maybe we did something right, or maybe we just refrained from making some small, sudden move that would have paralyzed the man for life. All I know is that we saw his fate decided. I remember that as the sled pulled away, one of us called out, "We love you." I'd planned on a day of expensive irresponsibility, full of pleasant disconnection. But those hours of escape had dissolved. What remained was solid and exhilarating in its necessity. We'd met a stranger and held his head in our hands and listened as his voice clogged with fear. We changed his life and he ours. What all that adrenaline and worry and wonder added up to wasn't quite love, but it was close.